Before we continue this time of praise and worship, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements, and then we're going to hear from a couple different individuals as well. You'll notice that inside your bulletin, you have an insert for the Easter lilies for Easter Sunday, and you can feel free to fill that out and purchase an Easter lily in honor or in memory of a loved one, and then we will have the lilies here, and they will decorate the platform in honor of those who have gone before or those who have impacted us in a tremendous way. And so simply fill that out, put that with your check or money in the offering plate, and we will get those ordered for you. At this time, I'm going to have Rachel come forward, and she's going to share with us some really cool news to what transpired with the fundraiser with Easter Seals. And so, Rachel, why don't you share with us what you found out this week?
Okay, so I got that phone call I've been telling everybody about from Easter Seals, and I want to thank everybody for everyone's participation. We raised $778, and that was over 3,500 pounds of clothes. So I think everyone should have pretty clean closets now. I actually have already started a box for the next time we do it, which is kind of sad. But anyway, so we will be doing it again. So, don't hesitate to start your next garbage bag.
Okay. And Rachel also shared with me, what about Easter Seals and what that impacted them with.
They were actually amazed. Thank you for reminding me. They were actually amazed when I got my phone call. He said that he was floored because we almost doubled what their average Easter Seal Ben fundraiser is. So you guys literally doubled what their normal fundraiser is. So
cool. Yeah, that's praise God. Praise God, amen? You know, that's exactly what can happen when we all come together as a congregation and pull in the same direction, friends. I don't believe that there is anything that is out of the limit that we can't accomplish in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so it might seem like something simple, you know, gathering up clothes, but friends, there's more to that. Eternity is at stake, and to touch the lives, the hearts, and the souls with these kids, that's going to impact them for generations to come. It's more than a pair of pants, more than an old shirt, more than an old pair of socks. It's about eternity. And we have another opportunity, and I'm going to invite Joanna to come forward and share with us in a couple weeks the opportunity that we have to rally once again, you know, to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And so why don't you share with us about the Easter egg hunt?
Okay, so April 8th is the Easter extravaganza. Why is it called the Easter extravaganza? Because it's not an Easter egg hunt. It is where the kids come to collect the eggs, and it takes them 5 minutes, maybe 10, but they get to hear the resurrection story, right? Right, kids? Amen. We get to hear the resurrection story. What's the resurrection story? How Jesus died on the cross because he loves us, and he died on the cross for our mistakes because he loves us, and he chose us, and God had a plan. So on April 8th, the week before Easter, not usually the day before, usually it's the day before. So the week before, on Saturday, 2 to 4, we're going to hide the eggs before, which means we spread them all over Williams Park. And so we're going to invite all the kids and any kids that you know and tell them to come and learn how much Jesus loves them and what he did for us. And they'll get some candy, too, you know? They'll get some candy. Oh, and I just want to say before, to tell you guys before, because usually we say it at the event, but the town of Gibsonburg, I go and talk to them about the local businesses, Kerwin's and the country store and Subway and all that, and I go and tell them about the Easter event, and they know me when I walk in because I sometimes forget their names. And but I don't forget the person I'm supposed to talk to, but I sometimes forget the name. And they know why I'm there. And so go support and buy a pizza or, you know, go support and just say I went to the Easter egg hunt and think, you know, the resurrection, heard about the resurrection story, and it's a good opportunity to talk about Jesus. And so we're really thankful that they're helping us out, and not just them, like Julie writes this amazing letter to give to like outside businesses with like paragraphs, and it makes sense and sincerely. And she does that because I go talk to the local stores, but she writes that letter. No, Miss Joanna does not write that letter. No. But so it's really exciting, and I get really nervous every year. I get really nervous to talk in front of all those, not the kids, no, not the kids, the parents. I get nervous to talk to the parents. I'm nervous right now. I don't know why. But Jesus, God's words come out, and it's God's story, and he's telling the story of what he did and his journey, and when we get to the last egg, the empty, the kids know, the children know about the empty stone and what the stone is moved, you know. And they know why the stone is moved, because Jesus is risen, and that's what we're going to learn about. And so that's April 8th, next week. If you want to come and help stuff the candy and the eggs, that's the 2nd, which is next Sunday. And you know a story about stuffing the eggs really quick. The Windsor Lane, all the older grandparents that have to be in the nursing home, and some other people, the other part of the care, I'm not sure what it's called. This might be the 5th year. This is the first year that I brought them eggs to stuff, but they're stuffing eggs with candy, and so we've got those residents helping us. And it's like an activity for them, and they know they're doing it for the kids, and they're really excited. So that's really great. So our community is involved in this. And,
Give us 3 ways how we can be involved.
Okay. So
what do we need to stuff the eggs with?
Oh, candy.
We need candy.
Yeah, we need candy.
Next Sunday, we're going to do what after the worship?
Next Sunday, we're going to, you're like Julie with the email, with the letter. See? Points that are in order. No.
Next Sunday we're going to do
next Sunday we're going to stuff the eggs with candy.
Okay. And then on April 8th, what do we need people to do out in Williams Park?
Oh, hide them.
Yes.
Spread them all
yes.
around. We need you, yes. Please.
At noon.
That's yes. At noon, not at 2, because it starts at 2.
At noon.
The event is 2 to 4, so me and Julie will be out there at noon. You can come at noon. A little bit later, that's okay, but we'll have a box for you to spread. Mom, before you go to Walmart, you can come and spread the eggs too. I love you, Mom. I'm not. 10 minutes is fine. You can. So that's the 3 main points. And if you come next week and stuff the eggs with us on the 2nd, you can eat even maybe 1 piece of candy, because I always do that. All right. Oh. Okay, sorry.
Lunch.
Julie's bringing a lunch next week, or everybody else is. So we'll feed you. But it's a good time, and I thank everybody. And remember, we're doing this to share Jesus' love.
Amen.
And this is the 6th year.
6th year? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. And thank you, Joanna. I think we've... I think we've heard that this is bigger than Trinity. And that's a wonderful thing. And so we need to just keep in focus. This is about the kids. It's about, you know, sharing the love of Christ with them and getting the word of God into their hearts and souls. And so you can bring candy. You can put it in the kitchen on the counter. And we are in need of candy to stuff the eggs next Sunday. You can stay for 10, 15 minutes as long as you can after worship and stuff the eggs. As Julie and Joanna said, there will be a light lunch provided. Or on April the 8th at noon, you can just show up in Williams Park and help to hide the eggs. And so, friends, as we saw with the Easter Seals fundraiser, we can come together and we can impact so many people for so many generations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Charlene, if you would come forward.
Boy, we got some amazing things going on in Trinity, don't we? I'm playing Greg today, because Greg is not feeling good, so I'm not going to be able to do him quite justice, but I will do my best. Inside your bulletin, you'll all see a card like this. We want all of us to be challenged to give this card to an unbeliever or somebody that isn't connected to a church. Our goal is to get the gospel out to as many people as we possibly can. So Greg says to give this out. And also he wanted me to remind you that he has a class coming up called Believe, and it's discovering your faith in Christ. So that will be on April the 17th at 7 o'clock, and that's a Monday night. So he wants to see you all there.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you, Charlene. We at Trinity, we want to invite and bring as many people into God's family that we possibly can, and this is one way that we can do that. Another way that we are exploring here, just make note on this Wednesday, March the 29th at 7 p.m., we are going to be introducing a possible new ministry, the Stevens Ministry. You can read about that in your bulletin as well. And we at Trinity, we truly believe that it is our call from God to invite, to bring people into God's family by whatever means that is necessary. And so, you know, as God leads you, may you be faithful and obedient in following him. Let us now turn to the listening of God's word.
Reading from today's word will be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 43 through 48, found on page 1503 of your pew Bibles. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the reading of the word. May we all be blessed by its hearing. If the ushers will now come forward for our tithes and offering.
Our kind, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we've placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service.
I don't know about you, but this is what it's all about. It's all about watching young children grow up in the faith. And so would any of you like to share what it means to you to follow Jesus? Okay. All right. Let's get you a microphone. Excuse me there.
Thank you. What Jesus means to me is love, peace, and joy. Jesus brings me hope and helps me calm down when I'm stressed out. When I'm stressed out, I pray and I tell him how much I love him.
Amen. Amen.
Following Jesus to me means that I get to take the righteous path in life, like if I follow Jesus and pray and worship him, he would gift me with an eternal ticket to heaven.
Amen.
God means to me is how God sent Jesus to die for our sins, and God would never leave our side. He knows what our future is. God is the only one that is perfect in this world.
Amen.
I think following Jesus is not being persuaded by others and doing the right thing, taking the right path and not being forced to do what other people do, and having confidence to be different.
See the last one? Okay, okay. Is that You know, this isn't very easy to stand in front of people and share, but yet you can see this is what it's all about, friends. All about why we are here. We are here for the next generation, for the kids. Let's give them one more round of applause. You guys did tremendous. You did wonderful. And so I would just like to pray over you as you are on this journey of following Jesus. And so if you all would just join with me and bow your heads and your hearts, let's offer a word of prayer, you know, for these young men and women here. Let's pray. Gracious God, we bless you this day. We thank you, O Lord, for just a touching tribute that we have heard today of the desire of these young lives to follow you. We praise you for that. We honor you for that, and we thank you for that. We understand that sometimes following you isn't easy, and yet we also understand that we have a role as those who grow up the young ones in the faith. May you just protect us all. May you surround us with your love and fill us with your joy, and may you anoint us with your peace. And I pray for these men and women here up on the stage. I pray that you would just go before them, grant them your favor. May you continue to be blessed through their lives, through their choices, and through all that they say and all that they do. We love you, O Christ, and we pray all this in the mighty name of the risen Savior, we do pray. Amen. All right, Children's Church is now dismissed, and let's give them one more round of applause. Cool was that? I don't know about you, but that just brought tears to my eyes. That's just a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. It's a tremendous thing to see the young people grow in the faith, and it's just a tremendous thing to see how they just, you know, are overflowing with a desire. And we are continuing this series this morning, titling Following Jesus. And this morning's message title is Following Jesus Through Sacrifice. Now, I'm going to just give a word of disclaimer here before you all just kind of tune out and say, oh boy, here goes Max again. He's going to talk about we need to give this and do this, and we need to give more and we need to do more. It's not about that. I truly believe that when we sacrifice, we need to understand what is behind that sacrifice before we will really realize why it is that we sacrifice. Sacrifice is a central message in almost all of every great story. We see it in movies like William Wallace sacrificing his life for the freedom of Scotland in Braveheart, or Jack sacrificing his life for Rose in the movie Titanic. We also can see it in cartoon characters where, you know, Woody or Buzz Lightyear and the rest of the toys, they live sacrificially to help each other in Toy Story. Or even the sacrificial love of Elsa and Anna in Frozen. You see, friends, sacrificial love and sacrifice is the central message of almost every great story. And even, in fact, it's like the story, God's story, that he sacrificed his only son so that all who would believe in him might live. I mean, the endless movies. I think of Armageddon, that movie where the one individual, he's on the planet and he sends everybody else away so that he could blow up the meteor. You can think of endless movies. Augustine, he said it this way. He says, what does it look like? It has hands to help others, feet to hasten to the poor and needy, eyes to see misery and want, ears to the heart, and the sighs to listen and the sorrows of men. That is what sacrificial love looks like. We find our text here this morning in the book of Ephesians. Now, we just finished this a few weeks ago, several months ago, actually, of the book of Ephesians. But we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 5, because the first two verses of the fifth chapter of Ephesians, we are told a charge, a challenge, that how we should live. And the scripture states it this way. It says, therefore, and it's in the side of your bulletin on the sermon notes, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I want to point out three different things that we can learn here this morning about sacrifice. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, we need to go beyond the sacrifice. We need to go behind it as to what motivates us to sacrifice for something. When I was in college, all I wanted to do was play football. And this might come as a shock to some of you, but I shared this with a friend of mine this past week. And my statement was, you know, if I could have got hands on steroids, I probably would have taken them. Because my love for football was that great. My desire to play that game was that strong. You see, our love determines our willingness. Sometimes I think when we look at the professional baseball players, and I could name several that have taken the banned performance-enhancing substances, we think, oh, they're just cheating. I don't think it's just cheating. I think that they are simply loving the game that much that they want to continue on, and it's that type of sacrifice that they're willing to give something of themselves for something else. And so when we look behind sacrifice and we see love as the motivating factor, and love will always be the determining factor in our willingness to do anything. Let that sink in. Our love for whatever it is will always determine our willingness to do whatever it is. You love your spouse, and so you're willing to sacrifice. You love your kids, and so you're willing to sacrifice. You love your job, and so you're willing to sacrifice. And I hope and I pray that you love Jesus, and so you're willing to sacrifice. It's our love that determines our willingness. It would do me no good to stand up here and talk about sacrifice in a series of do's and don'ts without talking about love. Because if we don't have the love, it will never last. If we don't have the motivation and the factor that causes us and propels us and compels us to do what we do, then it will never last. We will get tired, we will get irritable, we'll get resentful. We'll become miserable, and we will stop doing what God wants us to do. And so we need to address the fact of love. You see, you could also scratch out in your bulletin, and you could say true love. And then you could put there true sacrifice, or true love is rooted in love. It's rooted in God, because the scriptures tell us that God is love. So this morning, when we talk about sacrifice, we need to understand we are talking about love. Because what we love will compel us to sacrifice. We love our country. We go and we serve in the military. We love our families and we go to work to support them. We love our children, and so we protect them, and we try to raise them up in the God-fearing manner. We love our church, and so we get involved, and we serve God, and we share the gospel with those that we come across. We love our community, and so we get involved in reaching out with the gospel as we are doing here at Trinity. We love what we love. We love foods. So we go to our favorite restaurant. We afford whatever we needed to afford. You see, in the sales industry, they used to tell us that, you know, basically, it's not about the money, because people will find money for what they want and what they love. And that's very true. You see, it's not so much about time. It's not so much about money. It's not so much about ability. It's about our love. You see, if we love God, then it changes the whole scope of what we do with our money. If we love God, it changes the whole scope of how we spend our time. Because those are limited quantities, friends. You and I have the same amount of time. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And yet it's how we spend that amount of time that is determined by our love. And then I can hear the rebukes already. But I've got to work. Do you? Or are you on the treadmill of corporate world? What we love will order our lives. What we love will put our lives in a state. We had a memorial service here on Friday, and I heard about this love of this individual who, when difficulties came about, she put herself through school so she could raise her kids. That's love. That's sacrifice. I remember the years when I was a young man, 10, 12, when my mom, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and she was going, getting, pursuing her master's degree while my dad was out working. That's love, friends, that compels to sacrifice. You see, it's not sacrifice that's the issue. It's love. Love, 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 love. Let's turn to our text here. True sacrifice is rooted in love. And I would say true sacrifice is an expression of love as well. Second verse of chapter 5 in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, as he was chained to a Roman guard, he pens this, and he says, "And walk in love." We could just circle those three words right there. Walk in love. Walk in love, to live in love, to move in love, to do things in love, to look at others and what you do and say. To walk in love is to have a life of love that is characterized by love. And you can say, what type of love? We'll get to that here in a moment. But walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, I've been in this class over the last 6-7 weeks, and it's all about the doctrine, history, and polity of the United Methodist Church. And so the conference, they want me to take these two classes, and then I can sit for ordination. And we've been studying about the path of salvation. And without going into very much detail, I'm here to believe and to tell you that I believe that Western Christianity has created this belief that heaven is a destination. We come to church because we don't want to go to hell. We come to church because we want to go to heaven. And we don't ever see it as a journey. We never see it, as Jonathan Wesley put it, as that it's a journey to perfect love, Christian perfection. And that's exactly what it is, friends, because Jesus, he summed it up in this way. He said, the law and the prophets hang on two things: love God, love people. And that's the journey we should be on. Every day we should become more loving. And sometimes we think, oh, that's not very loving. But sometimes the truth hurts and we need to share those difficult things. But other times we need to be more compassionate, more empathetic, more sympathetic. And we need to understand that it's when we do those things, then sacrifice will be second nature. It won't even be a question. People ask me all the time, how did you sell your business after almost 20 years? I point right here. You walk in love, you love God enough, and there's nothing that is too much. If you love God, whatever he asks of you, it will not be too much. If you do not love God, what he asks of you will be too much. But you can say, but I love God. Sure you do. But are you growing in love, as Jonathan Wesley says? Grow in love, in that holy love. Jesus himself said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And how is he perfect? He is perfect because he is love. And Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And so when we think about sacrifice, we have to think about love. If we don't think about love, we're missing it. And we're putting more pressure on ourselves. For years I prayed, Lord, increase my love for you. And people are like, oh, how could you pray such a thing? Well, you know what? Hey, I'm not going to say that I'm outside of the realm or I've reached it or attained all of that. No, increase my love for you, Jesus. Give me more love for you. Because then this thing called sacrifice, it's not such a big thing that we have to deal with. Like, oh my goodness, how are we going to deal with this? What are we going to do? I don't know that I can do that. You love God? It will happen. You walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The second thing is true sacrifice is God-focused and others-centered. I just mentioned that Jesus said the law and the prophets, they hang on two things, to love God and love others. This is the essence of everything contained in the scriptures. I'll say that again. What Jesus said, it's the essence of everything that is contained in the scriptures. Jonathan Wesley, true Christian perfection, it resides in two things: loving God, loving people. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Have you ever been asked to do something that you really didn't want to do? I have. Has God ever asked you to do something that you didn't really want to do? Yeah, he's asked me several different things. He'll probably ask me more. Christ loved us, gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, true sacrifice, true love of God is God-focused and other-centered. When we are in tune with our love or lack of love therein, in our hearts, minds, and souls, then and only then will we be able to identify why something is so difficult for us to do when God asks. If we're not aware of the lack of love in our heart or the love that is going on in our heart, if we don't passionately pursue Christ, I'm here to tell you, if you don't passionately pursue Christ, then your love for Jesus is waning. It's waning. There's no such thing as a stagnant entity in this world. Either something is growing or it's diminishing. The same is true with relationships. Either your marriage is growing or it's diminishing. The same is true with your relationship with your kids. Either it's growing or it's diminishing. And the same is true. It's the principle of sowing and reaping, friends. God has set up this whole universe on the principle of sowing and reaping. You're in a marriage and you sow into that and you will reap good things. You have kids, you sow into their hearts and you will reap good things and sometimes not so good things, but you sow and you sow and you sow. You have a relationship with Christ and you sow into that and you will reap what God wants to reap. He will bring out of it what he wants to bring out of you. And that, my friends, is what the essence of being God-focused and others-centered. Many times I think that we focus on doing for others. That should be a response. We focus on our devotions. It should be a love response. When's the last time you woke up and you forgot to pray and you're like, oh, yikes, yup. Was it out of duty? Or was it out of a feeling of I missed quality time with a great friend, a loving Savior? I'm not going to tell you any different. There's days that I get up and I hit the ground running. A couple hours in, it's like, ooh, ouch. How do we respond? Jesus, I'm sorry. I love you. I'm coming back to you because I love you so much. It's not about a ritualistic duty to bow your head and read your Bible. It's about communing with the one that you love. Just like those of you that are married, I hope that's the case with your spouse. It shouldn't be a burden. It shouldn't be a duty. There are phases and times that, yes, it will be dry. It will be a duty. It will be burdened. But for the most part, your love, and that's the essence of this. We saw last week that Christ loved us. There's a volitional part of love. Now, what volitional means, it's an act of the will. It's a choice, and that's agape love, the type of love that Jesus loved us with. It's that choice to choose, even when someone is unlovable, as you and I were before we were in Christ. He chose to love us. Even when our loved ones are unlovable. There were times with my niece and nephew that I just wanted to, and I'll stop right there. You all understand. But it's a choice. I chose to love them. I chose to love them. I chose. And I'm bearing the fruit. I'm reaping the fruit out of that choice. It's not a mechanical action. And friends, when we think about the Easter egg extravaganza, as Joanna corrected me, I think I got it right that time. And we think about vacation Bible school. We think about Sunday school. We think about all these ministries. This is not just something to do. This is something to enact our love on these kids. We don't know where they're coming from. We have no clue what family life they're leaving to come here. All we know is we get them for a specified period of time. And friends, may we love on them like they've never experienced before. And may we look to them in being others-centered and saying, hey, no, it's about them and not us. You see, we're in the kingdom of God. We're in a relationship with God. If we're truly going to be honoring God, being focused with Him, and having others at our center, should we not have something that tugs at our heartstrings when we see somebody that is living in darkness, that's living in separation from the love of Christ? Shouldn't some visceral reaction happen deep within inside of us? Shouldn't a passion evoke from the depths of our soul that compels us to say, I love you and I'm going to love you into the kingdom of God? I hope it does. I really hope it does. The third thing that we can see out of this scripture text, this is not a very popular topic, I'll hear to tell you. You can listen to all kinds of preachers, all kinds of pastors, and the common theme of the day is God is going to bless you, He's going to bless you, He's going to bless you, He's going to bless you. That may be true. I truly do believe that God wants to bless you and He wants to bless me. I'm not denying that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you won't hear too many people speak about true sacrifice as part of following Jesus. You won't hear about it. This is about like the taking part in the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus. And we don't want to have any part of that. We, in our comfortable westernized Christianity, we don't want to have anything to do with that. But yet, friends, this is a very true part of following Jesus. Jesus Himself said the servant is not greater than the master, and yet over here in America, I think we've tried to make it so. Now, Jesus is the master, we are the servants, and yet He said the servants are not greater than the master. So meaning that we are not greater than Christ. And so what He went through, what He did, and what He was called and required of Him, sometimes those things will be required of us. Not a very popular message. There's an individual that comes here, and he would say this. He would say, yeah, that's not a very good recruitment tool. Not a very good recruitment message. You're right, it's not, but it's true. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Imitators, it's mimic. It's where we get mimic from. Those of you who have kids, I remember Christy and Mark, my niece and nephew, where they would mimic every word. I'd be on the phone, and they're mimicking every word that I'm saying, mimicking every action that I'm doing, mimicking everything that is going on. And that is exactly the same word that means right there. Therefore, what we are called is to mimic God. We are to imitate Him as beloved children. Picture that imagery. I remember doing that to my mom and my dad. There have been commercials about that. You got a dad under the car, working on the car, and then the son, he grabs a wrench and he lays down on his back under the car. Imitating. The imagery is pure, it's true. And that is part of following Jesus. And if it calls us to sacrifice, then so be it. But if we love Jesus so much, the sacrifice won't be too great. If we love Christ the way that He loves us, then nothing that He asks will be too great. My hope and my prayer, friends, this morning for all of us is that we would check our love for God. And if your love is in want, then go to God, because the scriptures tell us that He pours His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He will give you more love, friends. He will give you more. But don't miss. It's not about sacrifice. It's about love. Your love and mine. For Christ and for God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Heavenly Jesus, we thank You for the love that You expressed to us on the cross at Calvary. The love that compelled You to lay down Your life. The love that said, I love You this much. I'm willing to die for You. Father, may we not miss it this Easter season. May we not miss it as we approach Easter Sunday. May we grow in our love for you. We bless you, we thank you, and we praise you. In the holy name of the risen Christ, we do pray. Amen. As we close here this morning, may the love of Christ fill you and anoint you with his blessedness. May you and I truly grow in perfect love, in holy love, as we reflect the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart and be reflectors of the love of God. Go in peace. Amen.